Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, if y'all will go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. What an amazing evening we've already had in celebrating. There's just something in seeing children sing about Jesus, inviting us to also, as adults, remember that you come before the Lord in innocence, that God loves childlike faith. And so important for us when we see kids having a joyful experience in church. It's so important for us as well to remind ourselves that church is the body of Jesus Christ. And as we come together to meet, it's a reminder to us to also reflect and exhibit and demonstrate joy. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a message that I'm just going to call the Christmas Spirit. And we're going to look at a special instance in Luke chapter 2. But there's another theme in addition to the Christmas Spirit that we'll be looking at over the course of this month. But tonight, we're going to be looking at this, the idea of waiting. Because if there's anything that is historically known about Christmas itself, it's the idea of waiting. And I don't simply mean when you were a child and getting up on Christmas morning and like you could not wait for your folks to say, all right, it's okay to come on downstairs now, or we're going to come in and open presents. And you come in with childlike eyes and you're looking around and there's like cookie crumbs on the plate that you set out for Santa the night before, and the milk is gone, and like the lights on the tree are on. And suddenly all the waiting of December comes to a fulfillment in a morning with family. So I'm not just talking about that, but I'm talking about Christmas inherently is about waiting. You see, from the very, very beginning, God intended to send his son, his one and only son, Jesus. And as you read scripture from Genesis all the way through Malachi in the Old Testament, every bit of scripture is prophesying and it's hinting and it's an anticipation of the Messiah coming. And so that very first Christmas that we celebrate, when Mary and Joseph are required to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a Roman emperor's edict to take a census, we're so familiar with the Christmas story. But for the Jews, the people of God, they had been waiting thousands and thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was the announcement of the end of their wait. And now we as the New Testament church, we find ourselves in a similar position as the Jews, don't we? Because we now wait for Jesus to come again. We wait for Jesus' second coming. We live our lives with pregnant expectation of future deliverance, of Jesus coming and making all things right again, and inviting all of those who have placed their faith in Jesus to come with him to a place that he has prepared for us. So Christmas is about waiting. So turn your attention with me now, and we're going to pick up in chapter 2 of Luke, beginning in verse 21. This is after Jesus has been born, and scripture tells us that 8 days later, Joseph and Mary are going to have Jesus circumcised according to the law. This says in verse 21, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. When the days of their purification, according to the laws of Moses, were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and he was looking forward to Israel's consolation. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about their son Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So it's a pretty powerful passage, and you probably see immediately why I'm calling it, the title of this message, "The Christmas Spirit." Because in a few short verses, we see three different instances of the Holy Spirit moving in Simeon's life so that he's in the right place at the right time for the right moment to meet the Messiah whom God had promised Simeon he would not die until he got to see. And so the role of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's life, you can see it on the screen behind me. The first thing that we see that's taking place in this passage says the Holy Spirit was on him, which is profound. The Holy Spirit was on Simeon. The second thing we see is that it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until the Messiah was born. And then thirdly, we see that he was guided by the Spirit to enter the temple in Jerusalem at the exact time when Joseph and Mary were bringing Jesus to be circumcised. So we're familiar with the angels announcing the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds. But what we see here is the activity of God's Spirit confirming the birth of the Messiah. So one happens beforehand, one happens afterwards. And so here, this Holy Spirit is confirming to Simeon that this baby indeed is the Messiah. So when you think about what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be on Simeon? Because the Holy Spirit being on Simeon, we're more used to thinking of the Holy Spirit being in us, right? When we make a profession of faith in Christ Jesus, when we give our life to Him to become a Christian, Scripture promises that the Lord's Spirit will come and dwell within us, that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us, that He is given as a deposit, as a guarantee of our salvation. But here you have interesting language. He's not in Simeon, but He is on Simeon. Profoundly, when we look through the Old Testament, that's the phrase that you will often see used in reference to the Holy Spirit's activity in people's lives. The Old Testament will commonly say, "and the Spirit came on someone." It wasn't until Acts chapter 2, where Jesus had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, he'd send his Spirit, that the Spirit came to dwell in people who had professed faith in the Messiah. We see a great example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, where it says this, "So Samuel the prophet took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. But we're more familiar with passages like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. It says this: "The Father has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment." So what we see the Spirit doing in Simeon's life at this first Christmas season is the Spirit is intentionally guiding and directing and revealing to Simeon that the Messiah that the Jews had long awaited for had come. So we see that he came on Simeon, that he revealed to Simeon what he didn't previously know. He communicated God's promise to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. And then he even guides him physically to be in the temple at the right time and the right place. Now, we may think that's unusual for the Holy Spirit to literally put someone where they need to be at a certain moment in time in order to experience God's activity in their life. God's still doing that. God was still doing that in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, verse 7, we see that Paul and Silas, on one of their missionary journeys, they wanted to go on into Bithynia. But we see this interesting phrase: the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go. You see, even today, the Holy Spirit will nudge and direct and guide those who are His to be in the right places at the right times, in the right ways, if we'll live in responsiveness to Him. You see, that's how Simeon was living, in responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. So here's a phrase that I hope that you'll kind of write down or just think about this evening. And it's this: the Holy Spirit is still at work, confirming to men and women that the Messiah Jesus, the hope of the world, has come. The Holy Spirit is still at work, confirming to people that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. The Holy Spirit is still at work, convicting people of their sin. The Holy Spirit is still at work, inviting people into faith to trust Him. And I hope that this Christmas season, you would all affirm that the Holy Spirit is indeed at work in your own lives. I think one of the realities we have to ask ourselves is, have we welcomed Jesus into our lives the way Simeon did? You see, Simeon had been promised that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. He was waiting actively. He believed God when God promised that to him. And so Simeon, even in his old age, was confident that he would not die until he saw the Holy Spirit. Are you confident as well that Jesus promises you that if you profess faith in Christ Jesus, you may die physically, but you will never die spiritually? It's this deep-rooted confidence that no matter what you go through in life, no matter what you face, no matter what illnesses are in front of you, what relational struggles are around you, whatever financial stress is upon you, Simeon modeled for us a confidence in God's promises, that he rested his life upon those promises. And at Christmas, we're reminded too, in all of our waitings, that we too can rest our lives in confidence on God's promises to us. Now, you might notice that Simeon also gave a message to young Joseph and Mary. He gave them a message that was significant. It was a sobering reminder of what the implications of the Messiah being born were. You know, it's almost as if, hey, don't be so quick to put up a Christmas tree. Don't be so quick to go and celebrate the lights and the tinsel and all of the food and glamour of Christmas. But remember that Christmas itself has sobering implications. Because Jesus didn't just come so that we could sing songs about a baby in a manger, right? Jesus came ultimately to give his life for me and for you. Ultimately came to go to the cross because sin was a virus in humanity that needed to be taken care of. And Jesus lays down his own life that we might also have life. And so you notice these phrases in the message that Simeon gives to the parents. First of all, he says, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel. It means that the Messiah's coming would elevate the humble, but the Messiah's coming would also humble the proud. There would be some reversals of fortune in Israel. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ruling leaders of the Jews who thought they were something had to learn that they were nothing before God. The coming of the Messiah upset Jewish society, so to speak. Simeon also told the parents that this will be a sign that will be opposed. No Jew would have ever dreamed that when the Messiah came, he would experience opposition. Every Jew would have assumed that when the Messiah came, everything would be smooth sailing to glory from that moment. Because wouldn't the Messiah usher in a kingdom of peace and hope and riches and wealth for all of God's people? See, they misunderstood the mission of the Messiah. But because the Messiah didn't just come for Jews, as Simeon says, he is a light for revelation to the Jews and for the Gentiles, for all peoples. So all peoples would have to be made aware that the Messiah born to the Jews, they would have to be spreading the good news of this reality to all nations in all times and all places. And that's going to take a while. It is taking a while. And it takes longer when we as individual Christians don't joyfully jump into the great privilege of sharing the Christmas message with our neighbors, our classmates, and even with our nations. He would be a sign that would be opposed. He would experience opposition. And even those who seek to follow him with all their hearts would also experience opposition. We have an enemy that does not want the gospel message to go out. Then he also communicates, a sword will pierce your own soul. Doubtless this meant the heartbreaking realities that a parent has when they see their child rejected or vilified or reviled. And in Mary's case, in Joseph's case, even crucified. But it also speaks powerfully to even those who are most close to Jesus that truth convicts and pierces, and truth sometimes must wound us so that we may be convicted, confess, and be healed and forgiven. You know, even Jesus' immediate family struggled with this reality. They struggled with, they knew Jesus. They'd seen him growing up. They'd seen him falling off his bicycle with training wheels. I don't know if they had bicycles then, but you get the point. They were familiar with Jesus. He had half-brothers and sisters. So much so that the family was in a quandary when Jesus' ministry began to take off. There's an interesting passage in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, where it says, when his family heard this, they set out to restrain Jesus because they said, he's out of his mind. It's difficult when you see a child give their life completely to Jesus and begin living in a way that demonstrates faithfulness and holiness, perhaps even challenging you as a parent and your own walk with God. It's one of the most amazing things in our generations as we see youth and college students pursuing Jesus with all of their hearts and their families being a little bit hesitant, saying, let's not go too far with this faith thing. Sometimes the exuberance of young faith can surpass that of parents. It's a wonderful message to us when we have our kids lined up across the stage that we don't want to do anything to mute the joy and the faith of these little ones, do we? We want to nurture that not only in their hearts, but we want to remind ourselves of the joy of being a child before God all over again. And then Simeon says, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See, most importantly, Jesus knows what we think. Jesus knows what you think. He knows what we think about. And I know some of you are like, well, I kind of know that, but if you'll think about Jesus knowing your thoughts, it may even make you a little bit uncomfortable because you've got a lot of people fooled. I've got a lot of people fooled. And if you knew my thought life sometimes, you'd be like, it makes us uncomfortable, but it also should make us deeply restful before God. Because here's the thing, God knows how you think, He knows what you think, He knows who you are to the very core of your being, and He loves you. He loves you so much. You are harder on yourself than Jesus is, guaranteed. You vilify yourself, you correct yourself, you prevent yourself from living the abundant life so many different times. The mercy and the grace that is available to you because of Christmas and Jesus coming and giving His life for us on a cross is immense, enormous, and beyond belief. So while today's message is called the Christmas Spirit, we could probably also look at Simeon. And if you keep reading, there's an older lady named Anna, too, that encounters Jesus in the temple. We might even call it wrinkling while we wait. Because these two senior adults have been faithful to wait for the coming of the Messiah. The most important thing is we have to be like Simeon at Christmas and respond when the Spirit is at work. We saw tonight three different times in this passage that the Spirit is active in Simeon's life, and he responds. He's waiting. He's in position. He's ready. And when God nudges him, he goes into the temple at the right time and the right place. Perhaps your greatest gift you can give yourself and your family and your friends at Christmas is to make a fresh commitment to Jesus, to wait for Him, to wait for His Spirit at work in your life. So here's some thoughts for us this evening. First thing I want to remind us is that Christmas strengthens our waiting and increases our wonder. Christmas, the very idea, the very reality of Christmas should remind us that we can wait with patience because God's ways are better than our ways, and God's ways are worth waiting for. In Psalm 107, verse 9, it says, He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. And then Christmas reminds us that Christmas is a rejoinder to rejoice. Christmas is a rejoinder to rejoice. We have no excuse not to be a joyful people. In spite of difficult circumstances, in spite of suffering, even in spite of some of the consequences that we may be experiencing for our own sinfulness, Jesus has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Christmas seals that promise. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within every believer. He comes and He begins to do a work in you from the inside out to transform you. And so it's a rejoinder to rejoice. And Christmas should propel us, and I really want to change the expression here and just say gospel, but I know I can't do that. It should propel us to gospel. The very reality of Christmas should initiate in our hearts a desire to share with others the wonders of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do for them. The angels sang, the shepherds shared, Simeon praises. And Luke chapter 2, verse 18 says that all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Think about this. Perhaps you talking about your relationship with Jesus with some of your family this Christmas might produce wonder in someone. Sharing your faith story, talking to a friend over coffee at Christmas about all the things that Jesus has done in your life or walking you through may just provoke someone to share. And then finally, at Christmas, we should ponder in our wonder. I like that word ponder. I looked it up just to be sure I understood what it means. It means to think with thoroughness and care, to literally think about something carefully and for a noticeable length of time. It involves weighing options or reflecting deeply on a matter. In Luke 2:19, we see this powerful phrase, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Christmas is a time to ponder. It's a time to think deeply about the realities of Jesus. So let me invite our worship team to come up, and they're going to begin to move us into a time of closing through song, and we'll have an opportunity to give in here in just a moment. But if I could give you any challenge after tonight's wonderful service that we've had together, I would just say this. Please don't let people steal your wonder at Christmas. Please don't let joy thieves come into your heart or your life or your mind and rob you of your joy. If you could seal the image of our children up here moments ago singing with ecstatic joy, and even in the second song, like the one guy who wasn't going to kneel and he waited for his cameo, and it's like everybody's clapping. It's like that's joyfulness. Don't let people steal your joy this Christmas. Invest your joy deeply in Jesus, and please share with family, friends, and classmates why you trust Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.